Amen. Colossians 1, and we're going just through verses 13 and 14 tonight because they're really important verses. Probably the most important in our faith. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. We ended last time with verse 12, where we were told to give thanks to the Father because he qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance we have, which is heaven, with God for all eternity. And we people, in order to get to heaven, had to be made fit. He qualified us to be partakers. We had to qualify to inherit eternal life. See, we weren't born saved. No one's born saved. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. You just go. That's the way it is. But God qualified us through Jesus Christ. And in verses 13 and 14, what we do, and this book is really about who Jesus is. We cover Jesus Christ as our Savior. And next week, in verses 15 to 17, we see him as Creator. So tonight, two verses on Jesus being our Savior, and then next week as Creator. We don't ever want to forget what we received due to our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We never want to forget that. We can get feeling down and think we don't have anything at times. We have quite a bit through Jesus. Actually, the most important thing in life. You know, like Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? Isn't it sad that a lot of people are just living for this world? They're going to end up with nothing and then spend eternity in hell apart from God. That's horrible when you think about it. What a horrible thing. Absolutely nothing you have here is going to be of any use to you in heaven except Jesus. And thank God we accepted him. So he tells us to thank the Father because in verse 13, he thanks to the Father because he has delivered us from the power of darkness. That's the first thing we see in this verse. He did two things for us. One, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. There is dark power. There are two kingdoms that exist, only two in the world. The kingdom of Satan, of darkness, and the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. That's all there is. We'll know that when we're in heaven. There was only darkness and light. We must know about darkness and the devil in order to know the light when we come into it. You know, you don't know light until you come into it and the darkness is removed. And that's how it is with people. We were delivered from the power of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. This is horrible things to talk about because there's a lot of people going down that dark road. You know, darkness speaks of the absence of light, you know, absence of love, absence of peace, absence of joy. It's dark and you don't know anything. See, Satan blinds people so they won't see the truth. And Satan has power, but limited power. God is more powerful. But he's allowed to roam. He's the prince of this world. And his power is a power of death. It tells us that in Hebrews 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14, it says, he has the power of death. He destroys. He brings people to death, eternal death. Now, we need to acknowledge that the spiritual realm exists, and a lot of people don't. They don't see their need for Jesus. They don't believe anyone goes to hell, probably don't believe in hell, and they don't believe in spiritual things. So we must believe that the spiritual realm exists. People must believe that. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. It exists. We see this in Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Boy, that doesn't sound good, does it? When you go home tonight, you're in a battle. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you're in a battle. Because there are principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's all this evil and evil beings all around going on. It's sad, a lot of people don't teach on the dark side of life and hell and Satan, because then people don't see their need for Jesus. It exists. Satan roams around like what? A roaring lion seeking who he can devour. 1 Peter 5:8. He roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to make us ineffective. You know, and we're told in John 10:10, the thief, the devil, comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And as we look around at the world, as we look around at family members, we look around at old friends or people that were once we thought were Christians, or look around at what's going on in the world, we say, wow, he is killing, he's stealing, and he's destroying. He's very active today. The end is near, and he knows his end. It's very active. Some of the dark things that take place today, all you can say is that's evil. That person is full of evil that did that. And people don't want to admit that realm exists, but it exists. And Satan gets a lot of followers. There's a kingdom of darkness, and man starts out on this life on that road, headed to the kingdom of darkness. That's the way we start out, that highway to death, eternal death. But God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us. Isn't that great? It's like you take the wrong road and you're going the wrong way, and then you don't know where you are, you're lost, and then Jesus comes along and says, whip, turn around. You're on the wrong road. That happened to us last week when we went to Dallas and Fort Worth. We got lost 3 or 4 times. It's horrible there. It's just horrible, the traffic. You agree? It is horrible there. And I hope no one in Dallas or Fort Worth area listens to this on tape. Because just the other day someone told me, I listened to you on the internet. It's a good, it are good people, but it's a bad place. And but we get in the wrong road, so lost, nothing around, service stations, stores, Circle K, nothing. But then we're going down this road and I see a caterpillar place. You know that, still those caterpillars, the construction places. And here happened to still be in the building. Went in there. She told me how to get where I was going. Open, put the light on, got in the car, got there. Isn't it wonderful when you turn around and someone turns you around and you go to the right place and 15 minutes you're there. Jesus did that for us. We're going down the wrong road. He says, well, Jim, you're on the wrong road, wrong highway. The thing is, you think you're on the right highway and you're wrong. Don't you hate to admit you're wrong? Boy, when you and your wife are in the car and she's telling you you're on the wrong way, you're saying you're on the right way, ooh, that is not, that's tense, isn't it? Like I say, if you want to test your marriage, go on a road trip. And you will know how close you are at the end of it. Because you really get testy when you're trying to find directions. But Jesus got us off of that old road and put us on that good road. Through Jesus, we're saved. Let's turn to Acts 26. Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 15. Paul's conversion. He rehearses it. He recounts it. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have prepared to you for this purpose. Why did he call Paul? to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Why did he send him? To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's the gospel. That's why he called Paul to share the gospel, to open their eyes. And God opened my eyes one day where I can say, I see. And then to turn us from the power of Satan to God. We were under the power of Satan. Doesn't that sound scary? He had control of us so that we could receive forgiveness of sins and inherit heaven. What a wonderful thing God did for us. He put us on a good path, opened our eyes, turned us from darkness and from that evil power to the power of God. We were snatched from Satan's grip, but you know what? No one can snatch us from Jesus' hand. So we don't have to worry about that. Let's turn to John 10, please. John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. We were snatched from Satan's hand, and we are now in the hands of Jesus, and no one can snatch us from there. We are safe. Isn't that wonderful? We're safe. Jesus is the light of the world. You know, and one knows when they have been in darkness, only when they come to the light. And the light is Jesus. He's the light of the world. So no one can really know that they were in darkness, headed for destruction, until they come to the light and realize, wow, I was going there. Thank God. You know, that's why we can look at people and say, but for the grace of God, there go I. It's all God's grace. I'd be on that same path. I, at one time, didn't even know I was under the power of darkness. Isn't that scary? I don't know about you, but I thought I saw. I thought I was smart. You know, I didn't know I was under the power of sin and the flesh and the devil. I thought I was okay. If you would ask me, I would have said I was a good person. But thank God, he revealed himself to me and opened my eyes. We were on a destructive path, just like much of the world is today. They're in darkness, on a destructive path, and the sad thing is they think they're okay, a lot of them, that they don't need anything. What a shock it's going to be for people once they die and realize they were blind and they were part of Satan's kingdom. Is that not going to be a shock to a lot of people? I once was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. To live in the dark is a horrible thing. You know, Satan lies and tells people, oh, you see, you're okay. Live for the world, for yourself. Enjoy life while you're here. Don't worry about Jesus or anything. That's a lie. In John 8:44, we're told he's the father of lies. Boy, he knows how to lie. A lot of people today really know how to lie. He can really lie. He really deceives people. So back to our text, Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the father of lies, the power of it, the power to kill and destroy. God has done a great thing for us. And we need to be thankful. Thank God that he saved us. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would like to turn there. 1 Peter 2. verse 9 and 10. Look what we are now. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Satan is the prince of darkness. He's a deceiver. That's why we stand on God's word, because he will lie to you and he will lie to me and get us to question, is that what God really said? See, Satan calls good evil and evil good. And a lot of people do. And he's feeding that lie. Hey, that evil, that's okay, that's good. And that good over, no, that's not good, that's evil. But we Christians are no longer in darkness. We don't want to give in to the flesh and its lust. We have been blessed and now we're children of the light. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, and he's reminding them, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's what we're supposed to do. Not walk in darkness anymore, the old sinful life, but walk in newness of life. But back to our text in verse 13. God not only delivered us from the power of darkness, we're not under that power anymore, we're in the light, but he also has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That word conveyed means transferred. God transferred us, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, he didn't leave us without a kingdom. He took us from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son of his love. And we're in God's kingdom now. Isn't that great? We also have been transferred. The kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of light. We've been transferred to a great place. Took us out of a bad neighborhood into a great neighborhood. Transferred us, just put us there. Because God so loved the world, he made us partakers of the kingdom of love. We were delivered, could be rescued and deported from darkness to light, from torment to life everlasting in heaven. There's only two kingdoms, kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. We know in the world a lot of good people, but they're not in the kingdom of God. They're under the power of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and they don't know it, just like I didn't. Isn't that sad? But we have been given the gospel to set those people free. We pray for their faith. You see, God brings us out. You notice God brings us out of one and into the other. We see that a lot of in the Bible. He always goes from and to. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't leave us empty. From torment to everlasting life in heaven. It's always from and to. One day Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to reign and rule in his kingdom in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Now I'm still in the world, but I'm not of it. It means I'm living here, but I'm not part of the worldly system. I'm not sure a lot of people know those bumper stickers they put on, not of this world. I'm not sure they really know what that means. What it means is I now live that new life in Christ. It means they don't look like the world. We're different people. We're in the world. We live here. But we've been transferred from this kingdom into God's kingdom while we're still living here. So who should we represent? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's who we should represent because we're under his kingdom. People may look like good people, but they're not serving the Lord. They're not part of his kingdom. But the good news is they can be. And when they are transferred into his kingdom, we sure ought to live it so that people know there is another life. There is another kingdom. You know, we shouldn't so water down the Christianity and the gospel that we look just like the world. Because there's a lot of people that have that sticker on, not of this world. And they'll cut you off on the freeway. You say, hey, I thought you weren't of this world. You're acting just like them. That's sad, isn't it? Better off take that sticker off your car. We don't want to be hypocrites. Let's turn to John 17, please. John 17, verse 14. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Why? Because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. What happens as a result of being not of this world? People will hate you. It says that right here in John 7:14. The world has hated them because they are not of the world. Else the world, everybody would love you. Why wouldn't many not love us? Because we don't compromise. We put the Lord first. And a lot of people don't like that. They want us to take part in the things they take part in. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John now, chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, if that's where your heart is, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and it lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We can't be so in love with the world that we look just like the world. We're not of it. We need to look differently. We have been delivered, transferred, and in Jesus, we have a new life. And back to our text, when we get to verse 14, here's what else we have in verse 14. In Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood. You know, we used to sing a song, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You remember that? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. And we used to sing that at Calvary a lot. And that's true. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And redemption, God the Father bought our freedom. See, we're under that kingdom of Satan, under the power of that kingdom, that darkness. And he redeemed us. He bought our freedom. He bought our freedom. And Satan had to let go. And the cost was his son, Jesus Christ. That's an immense price. Jesus Christ dying on the cross. What a price was paid for us. God bought me because he loves me. He bought you because he loves you. Don't you love it when you find out someone loves you? Oh, that's nice. God loves me. We ought to say that each day. God loves me. You know, maybe it's a good idea we each wake up tomorrow morning and say, God loves me. And every morning, God loves me. And that kind of puts everything into perspective. God loves me. Then we won't be saying through the day, no one loves me. God bought our freedom because of his love. He redeemed us. That word was used to release a prisoner. It was to release a prisoner of the payment of a ransom. You just bought him. God paid the price for our redemption because Jesus was the acceptable sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 1. Please turn there, Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 7. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We've been redeemed. We have redeemed. We've been redeemed. And verse 14, we have the forgiveness of sin. That's important because sin can't inherit heaven. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. The best way to describe, you know, why everyone doesn't go to heaven, the people, is because in heaven it's pure and it's holy, and corruption, and we're corrupt, it can't inherit incorruption. I can't inherit the moon. I have to put on another suit because I can't live in that place in my natural self, my state. So I have to have something happen so I can live there. And in order to live in heaven, this corrupt being cannot live there. I have to become incorrupt. And I do that through Jesus Christ. I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I put on that space suit. I put on Jesus Christ. I'm going to heaven. I've been redeemed and I'm forgiven. That's important. We're qualified for heaven. That word forgiveness there in verse 14, it means to send away or cancel a debt. I like that, to send away. Our God says, get out of there, sin. Our sin was sent away. Isn't that wonderful? Something we can feel bad about, our old sin. God sent it away. Don't let Satan bother you about it. It's been forgiven. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's been sent away. It's not there. Satan cannot snatch us back, you see, because we owe no debt. We're not guilty. He can tempt you and get into your mind and say, oh, who do you think you are? You think God has forgiven you for that? Yes. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. You see, he can't get us back because we don't owe any debt. He can try to make us feel guilty, but we're not. Isn't that great? Our sin was sent away. You remember in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, it tells us about our body, we were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. He bought us at a price. But we should live as redeemed and forgiven people, as children of light. Forgiveness of sin is a great thing. Now, some people look at grace and redemption and forgiveness as a license to sin. Forgiveness, I just read this, forgiveness is not an excuse for sin, rather it is an encouragement for obedience. Forgiveness is not an excuse for sin, rather, it is an encouragement for obedience. We're encouraged to live a holy life. Let's turn to Romans 6, please. Romans 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also We also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in that newness of life. Our sin has been forgiven, washed away. We ought to be excited about our salvation, our forgiveness, and walk in that newness of life, not in darkness anymore. Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Verse 11. Psalm 103, 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that great? East and west never meet. They're gone. He removed them, our transgressions. It's so wonderful. Now we ought to live for him in that newness of life. Next week we covered Jesus the Creator, but we're going to close in this. There's some verses here that sum up what we've read today. And you know these verses because it's in Titus chapter 2. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Isn't that wonderful? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. We shouldn't be involved in those things anymore. He redeemed us to live that new life, to glorify him. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Lord, we thank you for the things we have in Jesus. We thank you that he is our Savior, that our sin is forgiven, that we've been redeemed, and we're safe. We're in your hand. God, I pray we would always be aware of the great gift we have of salvation and new life in Christ. Please give us power and wisdom and strength to live that new life in Christ. Lord, people need you. They don't even know they're in darkness. Use us, Lord, to turn the light on, if that's your will. We all know people that need you, Lord. We pray the door would be open, that you would give us wisdom in sharing, and our lives would be fruitful. Bless Calvary Chapel of Lake Forest. Use this church for your glory and the people in it. We thank you that we can have fellowship together. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.